Our gospel this morning says that the people were astonished by Christ's teachings. And to really understand the astonishment of the Jewish people, you have to see it in the context of the first reading. The first reading is Moses, perhaps the greatest figure in the entire Old Testament. And he predicts that one day a prophet would come who's greater than he is. And he says, when that prophet comes, listen to him. And from that point forward, the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of Israel, they always invoked the authority of Moses. They traced their authority back through a line of descent to Moses. But when Christ comes, he speaks on his own authority. And that's why people were shocked, because he didn't invoke the authority of Moses. He invoked his own authority. And so it was the fulfillment of this reading from the Old Testament that would have been very much in the minds of the Jewish people. And that's why they're astonished that he's teaching with such authority. And the people responded with such reverence towards his teaching. And it says even the demons were subject to him because his word had such power. And as I was reflecting on these readings, I was reflecting on the contrast between the reverence that people had towards Christ's teachings and the power and the authority that his teachings had, compared to today, the amount of cynicism and apathy there is towards the teachings of Christ, in which he teaches us through Scripture and through the church. You know, it's a very different attitude in today's culture. You know, today's culture, people tend to be tolerant of theology as long as it doesn't impact their behavior or make any demands upon them. You know, you can believe whatever you want about the Trinity or about God. That's fine, as long as it doesn't, you know, make any demands on anyone's moral behavior. But the moment you start getting into moral theology, especially issues around chastity, people get fired up and they'll attack the church. And you'll hear people attack the church teaching as being archaic, irrelevant, medieval. You know, people say, we're in the 21st century now, we don't have to listen to any of that. You know, you'll hear people say, why do we have to listen to a bunch of celibate old men in Rome? What do they know about anything? You know, people will go on the attack. And in our media, you know, people living chastity, they often portray them as being socially awkward or weird. And the hero is the one who is unchaste and promiscuous. You know, we see it in academia and universities, especially liberal arts departments, you know, how they'll mock traditional values. But if you look at the attacks against the church, you know, people will insult the church and they'll be cynical towards the church, but they'll never debate the church on an intellectual level, because they know that they'll lose. The truth is on the side of the church. And if you have someone arguing the church's position and someone arguing, you know, the secular position, the church is going to win every time. That's why the culture resorts to insults or cynicism, because they can't beat the church based upon truth. The truth speaks for itself. And the church's teachings are based on the truth. You know, what are some examples of that? We have an epidemic in our nation of STDs. There's 20 million reported cases per year of people in the United States contracting STDs. 20 million reported cases. That's not the total number of cases, just the reported cases. And everyone acknowledges this is a major health crisis and this is a major problem. And there's all these initiatives to try and stop the spread of STDs. But how many people have the courage to stand up and say that if people were living chastity and were living in accord with God's laws and they were reserving the marital act for marriage, in a monogamous marriage, that we wouldn't have any of those STDs? Suddenly, 20 million would drop to zero. How many people have the courage to stand up and say that? And people will mock the church's teaching and they'll mock chastity. But look at the reality. 20 million diseases contracted per year. And if we also look at the amount of harm that it causes to people's relationships when they're behaving unchastely and using each other as objects for their own pleasure, and the amount of pain and suffering that that causes. And if people were living chastity, that's an act of love. If somebody denies their own physical desires for the good of the one that they care about, to protect them morally, to protect them spiritually, and to protect them physically from things like STD, love would flourish in our society, and relationships would be so much healthier, and it would save us so much pain if people simply follow God's laws. If we look at another example, the most controversial, perhaps, of all church teaching, you know, the church is teaching against artificial birth control. You know, so many people, even Catholics, accept birth control as being a norm, and they'll reject the church's teaching on this. But if we look back in 1968, Pope Paul VI issued an encyclical upholding the church's teaching against artificial contraception. And he predicted several things would happen if contraception became widespread. He said the pill would open the way to marital infidelity and a general lowering of moral standards, especially among youth, because the pill eliminates pregnancy as a consequence, at least sometimes, and so people can do as they please. How, you know, haven't we seen this happen? A general lowering of moral standards, especially among the youth, and a rise in promiscuity. The second thing he predicted, it would cause men to forget the reverence due to women, disregarding their physical and emotional equilibrium, reducing her to a mere instrument to satisfy his desires. And the third thing he predicted was the danger of public authorities abusing their power to impose birth control, which we've seen in countries throughout the world with population control agendas that they've pushed on their people. And we even see it in the United States with the HHS mandate forcing everyone to cover birth control pills in their insurance policies. But if you know, we've seen each one of these play out exactly as Pope Paul VI predicted. And if we look at the second one, disregarding the physical and emotional equilibrium of a woman. In 2005, the World Health Organization declared oral contraceptives to be a first-class carcinogen in the same category as asbestos. And if you read a lot of medical textbooks, they might mention that, but they'll just dismiss it, saying the benefits outweigh the risk. How scientific is that judgment? The benefits outweigh the risk. You know, how are you going to tell that to a woman who was on the pill for years and contracted breast cancer and is on her deathbed dying from that? Are you going to tell her that the benefits outweigh the risk? And in today's culture, it's very popular for people to wear pink to fight breast cancer, to stand up for fundraising or in support of women who have breast cancer. And it's a good cause. But how many people have the courage to stand up and to say that the contraceptive pill is a major contributing factor to cervical cancer and breast cancer within our society? How many people have the courage to stand up and say that? And how many men have the courage to stand up and say that if they truly love their wife, that they wouldn't allow her to be taking a carcinogen into her body? Or if a man really loves his girlfriend, he wouldn't allow that. Or if a father really loves his daughters, he wouldn't allow her to be on the pill. How many people are willing to embrace chastity and to make a sacrifice for the good of the one that they love? The church does allow natural family planning, you know, within marriage to space out births for serious reasons. Natural family planning respects a woman's natural God-given cycles of fertility and infertility. You know, but the oral contraceptives and various forms of contraception are never morally acceptable. And people will mock the church's teaching. But if you start to look at it, if you look at the health effects and the effects on divorce and the emotional effects it has and the effects it has on tearing apart marriages within our society, the church is right. You know, people can mock the church all they want, but if they want to stand up and debate the church is teaching and the truth is going to stand out loud and clear. And just as the gospel says that Christ's teachings drove out the unclean spirit, if we heed Christ's teachings, it will drive disorder out from our lives. Sin causes disorder. It causes suffering and pain. It throws our lives out of order. And when we follow Christ's teachings, it establishes the order within us that's necessary for us to experience peace and authentic joy. So as we reflect on these readings today, you know, Christ's voice speaks with the same authority today as it did 2,000 years ago, because he speaks with truth. So the question is, do we listen with reverence and allow God's teachings given to us through Scripture and through the church to order our lives so that we can flourish? Or perhaps have we fallen into what the culture teaches, to be dismissive of those teachings or to be cynical and reject the church's teachings? In which case, perhaps it's time for us to have a renewed respect and a renewed openness to listening to the voice of Jesus Christ, whom even the unclean spirits obeyed.